Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
And what a great pleasure to welcome you to Shark Park for this afternoon's encounter. It is, of course, the Sharks and the Titans. Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, Emma Lawrence, Tony Squires with you this afternoon. And look, I hate to cliche, but it's a picture-perfect afternoon. Temperatures reaching, I think, 27 degrees come kickoff time at 3 o'clock. Perfect weather for footy. Are a bit warm, Del?
Yeah, it is warm, but you know what? This sort of weather makes you want to get out and dance.
Really?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because we are looking, I think the Sharks cheerleaders are doing a bit of rehearsing as we speak. Good weather for dancing.
Well, it is, because you know sometimes when you rock up to a game and it's a bit overcast and windy and that, and you just don't feel it. But when I rocked in here today, I'm feeling that good about being out here. It makes you want to dance. And then I see the girls dancing, and it brings back memories to when we used to warm up and, you know, the cheerleaders used to warm up.
You're exclusively a warm weather dancer?
I like warm weather dancing. I like dancing in the gym when I'm training, in between sets and stuff. Yeah, I do.
Do you usually dance with a whistle in your mouth or just holding the whistle?
Back in the old days I used to do that, but no more.
It's just good, Tony, because last week, you know, for the opening round it was quite wet. Conditions were tough, especially for sides like the Titans, who won't know what's hit them out there today. So, it's good to see some nice weather, and what a great start it's been to round two. Some really impressive performances so far by some of the bigger profile teams.
Indeed, I just need to ask all three of you, have you exercised your democratic right already? Have you voted?
Yeah, all done.
I have not as of yet, and I just realised.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not sure if you can do it out of area.
Out of area?
Yes. So as soon as this game is finished, I'm not sure if I can then go and vote around here.
Yeah.
For my area.
You can.
Of course you can.
Yeah, you can.
There's a little absentee section. You can go give your name.
Well, there you go.
They'll put you in the right
electorate. I was just so pumped for the footy. All that was on my mind was the footy. Yeah. So
beautiful. You're doing a good job too.
Forgot about.
I voted on Thursday, Tony. Wednesday I voted on. Yeah, well, because I'm away for the weekend.
Uh-huh.
So although I'm here, I've got to go somewhere after it. So I had to vote early. And you can vote online now, I believe.
Can you?
Yeah, you can.
I think you can vote online.
Vote early, vote often. And that's what we like to say here. Enjoy that democratic right that you have. We got so much in front of us. As you said, a couple of games of footy already, just looking at the Type Power scoreboard, see what's going on. We'll get to that Broncos and Cowboys game very shortly. 29-10, the Broncos. Powerful win for them. The Storm just doing it again. Terrific performance last week. Backed it up. Cam Smith, genius yet again. Over the Raiders, 22 points to 10. On Thursday night, the Dragons, 34 hours. something.
The Dragons were going good until
Dragons 0-2.
Yeah.
Dragons 0-2. But
they're always
Did you realise?
Thanks, Emma.
It must be so hard for you, Tony, because usually this time of year, for the last 4 or 5 years, you're leading the premiership.
Yes.
You're winning the comp. This is when you're walking tall.
Mate, we're going to
You're bulletproof at the moment. Mm. You're
a shadow of yourself.
Shadow of your former self.
Mate,
in the early part
corner,
of the season.
Get out of the corner, mate.
We're in the fetal position over there.
Paul Vaughan from the Dragons. I think what they have done, because we usually go 6-0, 13 or whatever. Just changed up this year. Maybe, you know, start a little bit slowly, get things working on a few things.
So you don't tighten up through the season.
Yeah, and then later just come home with the wet sail. Yeah. I think that is the plan from Paul McGregor. We'll find out when we speak to Paul Vaughan a little bit later on. We're also going to talk to Sam Burgess, the two-try hero for South Sydney, who are also flying high. Plenty to come. The Canterbury Cup, of course, we played here before the NRL, the Jets and the Mounties. So much to share with you over the 3 hours on Saturday. Triple M NRL.
To the right-hand side, Milton holds up. Davita Pengo Jr. running a great line, almost got a double. Brought down 1 metre out. Long ball goes to Boyd. Boyd goes across to Roberts. Too easy. They get another one. James Roberts gets a double tonight, and this could be anything. 24-0. Kick to come on the Mitsubishi Triton scoreboard.
Yes, it was 29-10. That's how it ended up. The Broncos over the Cowboys. Gee, what a difference a week makes. Last week, it was the Cowboys and their forward pack, certainly led by Jason Tamalolo, who rolled the Dragons. It was the Broncos, that young pack, struggling a little against the huge Melbourne Storm with Cam Smith running the operation. They turned it around. Ryan Girdler, the Broncos, so impressive.
They were uncompromising last night, Tony, weren't they? And I think you're right in that week one, there was probably a lot of expectation on a young side, and there was probably a lot of changes, a lot of transitional change with a new coach, and probably a lot of things going through their mind, and not an easy place to play down there in Melbourne. But last night, it was like they just sort of... they released the shackles and they just went out there and they did what they do best. And I think that's the blueprint for how the Broncos need to play, because the Cowboys, everyone, some people rate them as the best pack in the competition, and they got manhandled last night by a young Broncos side. And on the back of that, it just allows those halves. And look, surely they'll improve throughout the year in relation to some of the finer points with their kicking, and some of their pass selection was a little bit off, especially early in that. But when their forwards are in that frame of mind and they've got those outside backs that are big, physical, fast, and what Corey Oates and Bird and Co were able to do last night was super impressive. And I think that's how they play best, and they're going to win a lot of footy games if they turn up with that frame of mind.
Yeah, look, I think respect to Anthony Seibold. I like, he must have given Tevita Pengai Jr. a mission out there, and I reckon, because Taumalolo, everyone respects, he must have sort of said to him, mate, you know, you need to do a job for us here. You get the start tonight, and that's what we expect from someone like Tevita. And I think he's got off social media and that now. He's talking about it last night. I just can't believe he's available for the New South Wales Origin team. I'm pretty sure he's Tongan, but anyway, you guys can snatch him. But but even looking at their outside five last night, that was a throwback to when the 90s, back in the 2000s, mate, they were running the ball on, you know, zero or first tackle from the 10-metre line. You know, that's the stuff that the Broncos used to do. Roberts and kicking on zero tackles. For me, I was sitting there going, how good is this? With that talent, that's how you expect them to play. And even young Flegler?
Yeah.
Mate, he's like 180 metres. That's his second game of first grade.
He's big boy too.
He's mixed between a Shane Webke and a Brad Thorne. If you've ever seen Brad Thorne debut when he was 18, go back and have a look. He had a bit of that footwork and that. He was great.
Well, Flegler had more metres than any of the Broncos forwards. I think it was 195. And last week, he only got about 12 minutes off the bench. So Seibold said he was pumped to be able to get more game time. And so too with Tevita Pangai Jr. He came off the bench last week and apparently was disappointed with that. So had a point to prove, not only up against the likes of Taumalolo, but also getting that starting spot, which he obviously, you know, thought he deserved. So he was impressive. I think his stats don't really tell the story. It was more
115 metres for like 11 minutes. But it was all
the
quality.
The without the ball as well.
The try that he scored, but also Josh Maguire, who was their hard man for a couple of years, you know, he went to the Cowboys and he didn't miss him. He rushed up on him. And there was one try, the try that Tevita scored, mate, everyone was set. There was Gavin Cooper there, Michael Morgan, some defenders. He gets the ball back on that cross line, and it's just like no one's going to stop him. It was like a sense of arrogance. If you want to stop me, mate, bring it. And I reckon that's how the Broncos expect him to play. And he was just vicious in defense.
He made it really uncomfortable out there for the Cowboys pack, because, you know, his line speed, obviously, and his aggression was there for everyone to see. But it was also the other parts of his game where if anyone was left standing in a tackle, he was coming from 5 or 6 metres away full pace, and he was going to throw his body in there to hurt people. And, I mean, once you start doing that, and especially against, you know, packs and sometimes with an ageing roster and things like that, it's really confronting when you have a guy out there on a mission like that. And that's, in the end, I think, played a big part into why they were dominant through the middle.
Well, he ended up injuring Taumalolo because it was already two players in tackle, but because he'd hit him and then he'd bent him, that leg, like, you'd never see that. And obviously takes away from, you know, the Cowboys have got a pretty fair pack, but it all stems from him.
He's really humble as well too, which I like. He was interviewed after the game and they were giving him massive raps, and he said, oh, I don't want to get a big head, you know.
I think he's been told, Sam Thaiday and a couple of others, because everyone, when he goes well, everyone pumps his tyres up, and then he just doesn't play well for, you know, 3 or 4 weeks.
Doesn't that happen with so many of the young ones? That's why coaches are so hesitant to ever talk them up, because they're so up and down when they're young.
But also the social media stuff. So, like, even Matt Lodge, I think Matt Lodge has been really good with him too. But I think even Tevita saying there at the end, he goes, oh, Sam told me, you know, that I probably get a big head sometimes. Yeah. And he's talking about Sam Thaiday. So Sam Thaiday's still, you know, mentoring him in that role.
That's good that they're
able to do that. Well, mate, we're going to see more of that, you know.
What about Bird? Probably his best game for the club since he arrived.
He just looks so fit, doesn't he? And it was a really good battle last night, because sort of he was out on that left hand side, and he runs the ball so well, especially when he sort of comes looking for it. And last night you can just tell he's got a game under his belt now, and he just really wanted to get involved. And everything he did was class. He showed some real signs of speed when he chased a kick through there that was put through from a Roberts on a break. And aggressive, his aggressive nature against Taumalolo, I thought that was a really good matchup because Taumalolo started out on that right hand side, and Bird was playing on left, and they came, you know, they came into contact quite regularly early on in the game, and I thought Bird was flying out the line looking for that sort of contact as well. So I think he's just playing with a lot of confidence. He looks super fit and he's going to be a real threat for the Broncos.
I think he got embarrassed last year when they rushed him in. He went up there. I don't think he expected to get the reception or to get the pressure of being that one. You know, when you're playing at the Dragons, obviously there's a bit of pressure. But then when you're sort of playing here at Cronulla, there was a different pressure. And I think last year, the harder he tried, the worse it got. And I remember speaking to him and I said, mate, he goes, mate, I came in, I didn't probably train as hard as I didn't. Because he was injured, he didn't get that sort of... And Wayne rushed him in, you know, and all respect, big signing. They wanted him in there. The Broncos run under the pump a little bit last year. And this year he looks fit, had a good pre-season. And I reckon he's in a good headspace too because I thought there was chances in the off-season that he actually might come back to Cronulla.
Really?
Yeah, I think last year, because he was seen at a couple of Cronulla things last year, so I thought that would all make headway for coming back home now.
We are at Shark Park. The Canterbury Cup Jets and the Mounties will be getting underway in a little while. They're talking about the Broncos and the Cowboys from last night. And for Anthony Seibold, your former housemate, obviously he's just arrived in Brisbane, had the first off loss to Melbourne, and given their form continuing this week, you know, that's easily forgiven. But great for him to get that one away at home for the Broncos to be up and running.
Yeah, look, it's funny. Speaking of him every now and then, he likes the pressure. He knows the pressure of coaching, but I just know the longer, and I think even Wayne Bennett talked the other night about Braden Burns, you know, why Seibold didn't give him a start. But for Anthony, just get that first win. Obviously, there's an expectation there. The Cowboys are always tough to beat. They've had a good record against the Broncos, but I'm happy for him. But he was keen for this challenge, you know, last night, and he knew against, you know, a side like the Cowboys, it was going to be up. And I asked him, I said, mate, how do you stop someone like Taumalolo? And he said, as Melbourne have done in the past, you've got to rush. You got to rush from marker and cut his time down. And obviously, Tevita Pengai did the job there.
Just on Bennett, he's saying he didn't know why Burns didn't get an opportunity earlier. That was a dig at Seibold. He has every week he's just put something just small in every press conference.
I agree.
I'm not sure why this hasn't happened in the past. Not sure why this hasn't happened. Yeah. Saying I'm coming here to fix it.
Yeah, I know. I agree. Yeah, so
hasn't missed, Wayne.
He hasn't missed. But I'm happy for Anthony. And you know, but I think he knows too. It's about having those players play consistently. But that brand of football last night. If I see that from the Broncos this year, most weeks I'll be pretty happy.
We'll get a Wayne Bennett update from Sam Burgess.
In roughly
10 minutes. It's good to see you. You're up and about today, Wendell Saylor. Is that the double shot latte with two sugars? Is that
life's good at the moment. I'm feeling good. I think I'm training hard at the moment. My son's going all right. So, happy wife, happy life.
Yeah, exactly. Look at little Gertz out there in the corner, though, but no coffee. His body's a temple.
Yeah.
I'd love a coffee, Tony.
I know you would.
This is a double shot, but
More coffees, please. Yeah. Just put them near Ryan, but not for
Ryan.
Done
on my nose.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You drinking coffee, class?
I've been off coffee for about 12 months.
But how is that when you own a coffee shop?
I was drinking too much of it, and I came quite dependent. You ever been dependent on something, Wendell?
No, not at all, mate.
That's good. I was, and so I decided it was either cold turkey, like all in and get off it, or I'm not just going to dip the toe in the water. So I haven't had a hot drink.
No hot drinks.
I went to it. Well, see, tried to find a replacement, Tony, and there's just no replacement. You ask an alcoholic, you know. Yes. I mean, you just can't take up soft drink and it's going to satisfy. So I basically just thought after trying a few replacements that's it, I'm just off. All hot drinks are out.
Wow. I tell you what, I've cut down to one coffee a day, and in the afternoon I feel like I need one. And I found this cacao tea. It's like a chocolatey flavour. Yes. And
what, he played for the Panthers?
My Billy Army tea. It's actually really good. You can get it from like the herbal
shops. Bring some in for goods.
Cacao tea. How am I going to go to the Brewster and asking for a cacao kill? Yeah. I know that's a herbal.
You should introduce it to your cafe.
Now you're trying to run your cafe, Gerds.
Hey, I am a regular at Girdlers at DY.
We love VIP input, Wendell. So what would you like to see?
What about your chai latte? Wouldn't you have one of those?
No, I'm not a chai guy.
Wow.
No.
It's good, the turmeric latte.
I don't like the turmeric.
You don't like
No, you like turmeric latte. Oh, I should say I like it all, actually. No, they're all delicious, especially at Girdlers.
Rugby League show, this. This is Rugby League show. Plus some coffee on the side. We'll get plenty to get to. As I said, we'll catch up with Sam Burgess very shortly and also look in greater detail. The Raiders and the Storm, 22 points to 10. Melbourne getting the bickies there. Saturday Triple M NRL. Emma Lawrence, Wendell Saylor, Ryan Girdler, Tony Squires with you from Shark Park, ahead of the Sharks and Titans kick off 3 o'clock. The Newtown Jets and the Mounties out on a beautiful looking stadium, the grass looking a picture. They're doing their warm ups before the Canterbury Cup. Yes, Wendell?
I see someone down there who's been in the headlines, not for bad reasons at the moment, but James Seguiaro. He's got the number 9 on down there for Newtown.
The Jets?
Yes. So Chico Seguiaro is down there and he's going to rip in today.
We'll have a little look at how he goes in that game, leading up, of course, to kick off at 3 o'clock. Triple M rocking the footy, did so last night with the Raiders and the Storm. 22 points to 10. Here is the play of the day.
15 out. Cam Smith throws to the right to Croft. Cut out ball to Curtis Scott. Just like that, a 2-on-1. And Vunivalu has got a first half hat trick. Oh, that's so easy. Beautiful stuff by Melbourne. Just one cutout pass and Canberra cut the shreds. And Suliasu, my God, how many is he going to score tonight?
Yes, yeah, so the Melbourne Storm, too good for the Raiders, 22 points to 10. And as we mentioned it last week, just how good is Cam Smith once again orchestrating everything that happened on that field.
Yeah, look, he played some pretty good football last night, but that's what you expect from Melbourne. They don't make too many mistakes early. Canberra didn't go with them. The intensity wasn't there. They scored 3 tries on that right edge. Vunivalu, such a talented player, but Gerds and I were talking about it before. Cam Smith, he just does it easy. He gets those double cutout passes. He just picks and chooses. Dal Finucane, I think, 180 metres. And Canberra, they got themselves into the second half, but it was all set up in the first half for them, the way that they played that game. They were really good through not just the middle third, but also their outside five, the tough carries.
Their front row yesterday, so for Solomona's start of the season and Bromwich, they're just absolutely dominating teams through the middle of the field, and they were great again. And on the back of that, Cameron Smith, I thought he ran in the first half yesterday more than I've seen him run in years. And they really changed up, you know, their style as opposed to what they did to the Broncos in the first week where they really played down this left side. They identified that Whiten was out on the Raiders' left side, so they attacked Melbourne right side. Just to put the new guy under a little bit of pressure, there were some new combinations out there, and yeah, Vunivalu got 3 tries, and Croft played really well. They were just outstanding again yesterday. They got to a lead. They're the best leaders in the competition. Then they go to sleep and they put you to sleep.
Yep.
And then, you know, the Raiders, as Wendell said, they had 52% possession, got themselves back into a position to win the game and compete. The thing is that with the Raiders, they've had so many changes to the roster, and it was hard to see what sort of style they're going to play. Like last week, they played against the Titans and had that really good win in really bad conditions, so it was hard to get a read on them. And yesterday, it was the same. And when they got, because they've pretty much got a new spine, when they got into those attacking situations, and they had a few of them in the second half, there's a fair bit of work to be done there. Hodgson was really quiet, and obviously trying to get Caesar, White and Klokstad, who I thought was their best player yesterday, all sort of reading from the same page, is going to be something Ricky's got to work with. But I wouldn't be too concerned. I mean, they're the benchmark at the moment, the Melbourne Storm, and I think the Raiders showed some signs yesterday that they're going to be competitive.
And don't you think the fact, too, that against the Storm, they were able to come back in the second half, whereas previously the Raiders just would have dropped off, and they've got new players and got new combinations, and really a few of those early tries, those Vunivalu ones, it was kind of really just individual errors, wasn't it? A couple of times sort of Kotrick and Chance, they were sort of...
Yeah, they weren't picking numbers, and I think I think he got caught there. The fullback there, he got caught in the line.
Yeah.
Straight away they picked him out, they put kicks in and stuff. But also I think Kotrick, he missed a soft for him. I thought he was good enough to play Origin last year, and I still think he hasn't played too many bad games, but Vunivalu sort of just had the shoulder. He usually gets you there, Kotrick, you know. He was off, and then even numbers on that short side, they'd look up and they'd know, okay, we've got 5-on-3 here, 4-on-3, and bang, and they just weren't talking, as Gerd said, and that was the problem there with the Raiders early. And then in the second half, then they started working together and they came back into it.
But how long does it take? We spoke about it off-air before with the Dragons and having that young Ravalawa, his new, that combo with Aitken. How long does it take to be able to really get... Is it sometimes with your centre or your fullback, is it sometimes you've just got it together and you've got good communication, you're going to work together? Or
The more you talk, the more you put under pressure, whether it's a training or in a game, you can't beat game simulation. Like, I played a fair few games with Gerds for Australia, and we sort of knew, he knew if I was going to jam, he would come around the outside and he'd cover me, or then if I'd stay out, you know, we'd slide together. It is talking
when
communication.
When you say he knew that because of talking or because
I could
of
just hear Wendell's footsteps just go. Oh. The turf was like, you know, hitting me in the face.
It's like a racehorse. But you sort of have that trust where he knows if I'm going to come in and jam, because if you can see something from as a wing perspective and hit that outside centre, he knows he's going to cover you just in case old mate gets the ball, and so Gerds has covered you then. And at the moment, they didn't have that yesterday, the Raiders, which was unusual because usually pretty good.
We spoke last week, of course, to Storm coach, who's a Bellamy, who is a card-carrying genius, let's face it. But even with him, were we expecting... I mean, there's such value for money for a fan, for a Melbourne fan, aren't they, over such a long period of time. There was some speculation, Billy Slater going, of course, and the year before, Cooper Cronk having gone, they go to the grand final and they get beaten, that this year, the window's closing. The window never closes.
It doesn't,
Melbourne.
Does it?
It doesn't close.
And I was watching the game yesterday just thinking that, you know, how they've transitioned through different styles to suit their roster over the years and still been successful. Like, remember there was times when they were winning the premierships back in the, like, you know, 2011s and 12s when they were competing with Manly and that and those clubs, and they didn't have a big pack. They had like a really small mobile pack, but they had the big three in key positions, and then they just made it work because those three people just tortured teams. And then they went away, as you said, they've lost Cooper, so they've been able to, Cameron Smith's been able to play a different role. Now they've got a really big aggressive pack, so now they're getting out there and using their forwards and playing, you know, with width from dummy half, where Cameron Smith's probably throwing 20 or 30 metre flat passes to hit their playmakers just on the outside of, like, you know, the edge defence on the other side, which just rings alarm bells for defending sides. So it's just brilliant to watch.
Good. I think I have a new favourite in the Melbourne Storm. You know, it's always good to like those flashy players and, you know, the skillful players, but every time I watch Brandon Smith play, there's just a lot to like about him. You know, he might only get on there and have 25 minutes, but let me tell you, it's quality, and he just plays with such a passion. Mm. You know, I just love it.
His their system's bringing through. I mean, what about, there was some Billy Slater moments yesterday played by Jerome Hughes. Yep. I mean, there was a couple of nice tries set up where he got in there and hit the right man. It was Vunivalu, had to sort of face ball the centre and hit Vunivalu. He did that. And there was a couple of other things where he got the ball through the middle of the field, probing like Billy. And you can tell that Billy's obviously down there and he's having a real influence on this young kid coming through. And he hasn't put a foot wrong yet.
Well, don't they? Well, someone, I'm sure, far more intelligent than I am, said that systems win premierships. And you can see that down there, their entire setup. It's so professional. And I guess if you look at kind of all of the coaches that have coached under Bellamy, I mean, think of what they would pick up. There's so many now. You've got Madge, Seibold was down there. There's so many. There's probably about eight of the NRL coaches now. Adam O'Brien, now the Roosters. There's so many of them. And to think probably half of the NRL coaches have at one stage been under Craig Bellamy.
Over the last few years, mate, the Roosters and the Sharks, when they won their grand final, they've showed you to beat the Storm, you've got to take them out of their comfort zone. You can't let them have it their own way. And we saw in the grand final last year what the Roosters did. But at the moment, everyone's going, the Cowboys got the best forward pack, the Broncos. I think Melbourne Storm still got the best forward pack in the competition.
We are coming to you from Shark Park. Why don't you get down here? It is a beautiful day. Temperatures tipped to get around 27 degrees by 3 o'clock kickoff. Put some sunscreen on. Obviously, go and vote. Have a bit of a hot dog at the school where you vote. Then get yourself here to Shark Park for that game. We're going to chat with Sam Burgess shortly. Before that, though, thanks to Mongrel Boots, it will be best of the best on Satellite Triple M NRL. Triple M just rocking the footy on a Saturday afternoon. Ryan Girdler, Emma Lawrence, Wendell Saylor and Tony Squires with you. And
what do they have, Tony? Just before you go, you're talking about everyone getting along to their public school and having a little vote this morning and exercising their democratic right. What do they do in the eastern suburbs as opposed to the rest of us? We all go and have a sausage sizzle and, you know, a little bit of onion and some tomato sauce. What do you guys have?
More lobster thermidor kind of affair. So it's sit down, obviously. You don't stand up. Okay. And there is a waiter, so obviously. Somebody from the other side of Anzac Parade will come over.
That's why I couldn't believe that you made it down here to Shark Park today. Like, I just didn't think that you travelled.
What do you mean?
Well, you know,
I'm a big traveller.
Oh, no, where's that helicopter?
big traveller. And I love Mongrel Boots.
We all do, mate.
Who bring us this?
On Triple M NRL, the best of the best.
Been a bit of talk, hasn't there, in the first two rounds about players who have swapped position in key spots and how successful or how the exercise is going. Kalyn Ponga, obviously, in Newcastle's move from fullback to 5'8". I know Gerds last week was pretty negative about that idea. There's been talk also about Gareth Widdop. He didn't seem too happy himself, actually, when interviewed after the game about playing at fullback rather than 5'8". We'll get to that game specifically.
I don't know what that is, actually. I do know why, I think. I think because he's trying to fit Corey Norman in there as well. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah. No, but do you think it was interesting that he actually seemed to be saying, no, I'd rather play 5'8".
Well, that's where he should be playing because Duffy needs to be into that in that team. You know, they're just missing that X factor from the back five.
Yeah. So that made me think about, well, who are the best players who have switched positions successfully, obviously? Who wants to start me off with this best of the best? Emma Lawrence.
I'll start. Okay. I remember when I was a little bit younger and I was in primary school and used to love watching Luke Lewis.
Can I stop you there, Sparky? So, can you, if when you be able to say, you know, when I was a little bit younger in primary school. See, I was, that's a lot
long
younger
time.
In primary school. Yep. A little bit younger in primary. Go ahead.
It was only about 15 years ago, maybe. Yeah. Okay. Anyway,
yeah,
not to rub it in, Tony, no. But... Mm-hmm. Loved watching Luke Lewis play, and I'm sure Gerds did as well. Won that premiership with him back in 03. And I remember some of the first Origin games I watched that he was involved in, and Luke Rooney as well. And he was so different back then. He was sort of a bit of a lanky kid, and he was so fast and a good finisher. But then to see what he did when he moved into the back row, and even these last few years for Cronulla, he still had it. He was one of those players that you just week in, week out, you knew what you were going to get. He was so tough, so consistent. And a couple of games, I think I was doing sideline, he even got an intercept here or there, even in his final year. So he still had the legs on him. So I'm going to go with Luke Lewis, and he was a champion and still is a champion off the field.
Yeah. I remember him looking at a screen as he took an intercept and running for the try to make sure he was looking good. How quick was he?
Well, it was a lot quicker when he was younger. Yeah. It was lightning when he came through and really good feet, really strong. And he was just... He was built to play rugby league. So,
wasn't he?
And the transition didn't really surprise me. He played a lot because he actually did. He started on the wing, but in the first couple of years at Penrith, he didn't last on the wing that long. He became a real utility player. They used him sort of. He'd play a little bit of fullback. They put him in the centres regularly, and he played a fair bit of six as well before he transitioned in. So he sort of made the move slowly, but he was good at all those positions because he was kind of like a Tyrone Peachy, where his best position is just on the field. Have him out there somewhere, you know.
Yep. All right. Wendell, who's yours?
Oh, look, I play with some pretty fair players, and I've seen some pretty fair players in my time. Mm-hmm. I'm very old compared to you, Emma. I'm 44. For me, Darren Lockyer. I think when he came through as an 18-year-old, everybody knew that he was a pretty talented player. When Wayne brought him up into our first grade squad, and we had boys like Kevy Walters, Julian O'Neill, and that there, and where's this kid going to play? And someone said, oh, he'll play anywhere. And sure enough... he came on, I think, played 5'8 against Parramatta in 1995. But then I've seen him over the years, obviously, dominated fullback and played, with him for Australia and Queensland. And then to switch to 5'8, and I probably didn't realise probably how tough he was as a competitor until I played him when I was at the Dragons for a couple of years.
Yep.
I'll never forget it. I actually joked about this to him last week. I just thought, I'm gonna run straight at him. So I went off the ruck and went straight at him. There was no one else around. He just got me, picked me up and dropped me on my back, and I wasn't real happy about it either, just quietly. So you know this, Gertie. He's just...
Unbelievable.
Yeah, just tough, and, he's quite a handy player.
Yeah, hard to go past that. All right, who you got?
Mine would have to be Wendell Saylor from the Broncos wing to the Waratahs wing.
Go
is that
away.
Is that a switch? No.
Go away, mate.
No, I'd have to say, I don't know whether this counts, Tone, because... I don't think he ever played first grade in this position, but I know as a junior coming through, Danny Bedaris played in the outside backs in the Knights system.
Seriously.
And then saw an opportunity to go into the dummy half role and just made himself a hooker.
Wow. Because
that's the kind of guy that he is.
Yeah.
And so, but I don't think he ever played in the outside backs in first grade.
We'll be here later, of course, because I think he's Fox Sports commentating this game from the ground. We'll
you got another one. We'll one of your out. Boys... Ben Cray, he started on the wing and ended up obviously a representative back rower.
On the wing as well.
Started on the wing. That was his first, sort of couple of games on the wing.
There are a couple of others, of course. Jeff Toovs spent a fair bit of time at halfback and then at number nine. Equally brilliant.
Pound for pound.
I think Wally Lewis, When he was played lock. For Valley, he's played lock. Played lock before yeah. he was 5'8 and the superstar that he's become.
And then Brett Kenny, I think Brett Kenny played 5'8 and correct. So they put him in at lock.
And Emma, back when I was in primary school, Graham Langlands was running around for the Dragons. He played centre, obviously, and then moved to fullback okay. and to be one of the greats and immortal as well. Delbert, you did move from the wing and played in the back row, didn't you?
Oh, look, this is not about me, but I played 5 games in the back row. Mm-hmm. Did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
Actually, one
how,
of the
how good actually?
Yeah. Well, in 1990,
and if you played so well there and you did really well, how come you only played 5 games there?
Because the Broncos had such an abundance of back rowers, and there's Willie Carr and Mick Hancock. They were the number one wingers, and Wayne said you can play on the bench, play off the bench, and play or start in the back row. And me being Big Dell, I just wanted to start, mate.
Of course you did. Yeah,
and it was I reckon that was made me appreciate what the forwards did because one of the finals games we played against Canberra. They had Lomax, Pongia, Bradley Clyde, and let me tell you, it was just. And then we played the Bulldogs the next week. So for me at that age, I think it was perfect for me to understand when I went back there. And when you got a Ferrari like me, Gerds,
yeah.
put me back out wide.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah. you're wasting in there. yeah. Is it true, though, that Gordon went up to Wayne and said, if you play him in the back row, I'm going to refuse to pack next to him?
No, I don't know what Gordon said, but I did wear headgear. The boys never let me forget it. We also had Brad Thorne, too, come through.
Now, any great moments that you recall?
Oh, yeah, I do.
In enormous detail?
No, well, there was just one. We played down at Campbelltown, and Kevy Wilders just passed it to me. I went bang left foot, beat, I don't know who this West back row was. I think it was Dunny, and then I passed it to Lockyer, 40 metres out, and then he scores. So I'm not sure if it was Lockie's speed or my pass.
How many times have you watched that try back on YouTube?
About 20. Because it says Darren Lockyer's debut. So in case anyone wondering out there, Darren Lockyer's debut.
And which is the best angle to have a look at of the try?
Front on. Yeah, because you'll see my sleight of hand like when I sort of, yeah.
I love it. There's your best of the best. Thanks to Mongrel Boots, built for you in mind. Ultra comfort for the hardest of days. We're going to chat with Sam Burgess, a hero of South Sydney's win over the Dragons very shortly. Just about kick off here too in the Canterbury Cups. Saturday Triple M NRL. Ryan Girdler, Emma Lawrence, Wendell Sala, Tony Squires with you on this beautiful Saturday afternoon in Sydney. We're at Shark Park where the Canterbury Cup is just underway. Still nil all. The Jets and the Mounties all leading, of course, to kick off the Sharks and the Titans. We'll chat with both coaches a little bit later in the show. Garth Brennan will join us in the commentary box for a chat, and we'll also speak with John Morris. We were just talking on Best of the Best about positional changes, those ones that work. I just want to dig a bit deeper. We can get into the Dragons-South Sydney game a little bit later, and obviously, we're going to talk with Sam Burgess as well. But that key positional change that Paul McGregor has made. Now, Gareth Widdop, who is his last season with the club before he returns to the Super League, he's been moved to fullback, a position he played sporadically for England under Wayne Bennett's coaching. Corey Norman, of course, who has come in to the club with the view that when Gareth Widdop goes, he's there, the ready-made replacement. It's meant this change that has happened. He's not at 5'8 and not the number 6 Widdop. He doesn't seem to me to be completely happy, A, with how it's going on the field, but B, he expressed it in the post-game interview with Brad Fittler, how that's Mary's decision, you know, and makes it clear that he preferred to be a number 6.
Yeah, look, I'm not sure what's going on there. I knew when they bought Corey Norman there was going to be some battles for positions, but I thought, and in my mind, that Corey Norman would probably come off the bench as a utility. I think he's a perfect utility because he can play anywhere from fullback in the backs to filling in at number 9 there too if McInnes needs a break. But for me, you don't carry a person like Duffy on the bench. So I know Gareth is the captain of the team, so if he's not happy, him and Mary should sort that out. I've never heard that he's not happy, but he'll do whatever it is for the team. But at the moment, that's not the best thing for the Dragons at the moment. I know they're getting beaten through the middle a little bit, but their spine, for me, I think Dufty's got to go back to fullback because they haven't got that X factor at the back. Nana McDonald's gone. I know they've got some good players there, but I just think he offers so much back there, Dufty. Like his speed, you can't coach speed. So I'll be putting him to fullback. I would certainly throw Corey Norman. He's playing some okay football, but I reckon he'd be perfect on the bench. Put him on the bench. Dufty goes to obviously the fullback. And then the 5'8", you put Widdop back there. Because Widdop and Hunt, when they had that run last year, and through last year, it's mostly those two. They're, you know, they're together, their percentage, their winning record, not sure what it is, but it was great. There's a trust there. You're not starting again. And because when they bought Corey Norman, I think it was more so for when Widdop went to England. And then even in the backs, what I'd be doing then, Laffey had his best game. The young winger, Ravaloha, I've got no doubt he's a talented player. But when you've got a kid like Zach Lomax, you bring Zach Lomax into the team because he's a footballer. He can play anywhere from back row and even on the wing. Mate, he's so good in the air. Like, aerial-wise, he was as good as Nana McDonald in the air. I'd be bringing him in there because it's the understanding on that right side. I reckon South's got a couple of real cheap tries down that right-hand side because there wasn't a communication between Aitken and Ravalor.
Well, Freddie said that he would let Gareth Widdop go back to England early. And, you know, without knowing exactly whether he's happy there or not, the fact is, how often do we see, especially when it's a key player, someone from your spine gets injured, that pretty much can derail a team season. So for the first time, I know it's a headache to try and fit everyone in, but is that not also a good thing that they've got depth? Because as soon as one of them gets injured, at least it's not going to be a significant disadvantage. And how often do you have your 1, 6, 7 and 9 stay fit throughout the whole season?
Yeah, no, really? Very true, Emma. But I think for me, they've got to get this win sooner rather than later because next week they've got Brisbane at Suncorp Stadium. But you've got to go with... I think
so you throw this idea around, it's two weeks.
At the moment, I just don't think that's going to be the best. I'll ask Gerds in a minute. And then the week after, they've got Newcastle in Newcastle. Then they've got the Bulldogs, which the Bulldogs have had the wood on them. But I just think, even with Dufty, he's either in or out. Mate, don't put him on the bench. You know, I don't know about you, Gerds.
Well, look, I think it's hard to judge them at the moment. I mean, they're missing two of the best middle forwards in the game.
Yep.
With obviously, they've missed DeBellin for the whole season. And they've missed Tyson pretty much for the last couple of weeks.
And big yard eater in Lisson Armour gone.
And he was great impact off the bench. And I think on the back of that, I mean, when you talk about the form of halves, generally you're talking about their momentum through the middle and what they're playing on the back of. And at the moment, they're just not generating a lot of that, not giving him a lot of opportunity. And I think also with DeBellin, he either used to lay a line for him, come up with a second phase play, or he did a lot of their ball playing last year as well. So, gee, he's a guy that you just can't replace. So I think everyone's sort of looking at some of the issues and sure, there's some problems there that they have with their spine. But the problem with the Dragons is at the moment, I mean, they showed in the first half of the game on Thursday night that they can compete with the better sides, but they just probably haven't got the experience to go with them for the whole 80 minutes and they got burned in the end. But if it was my call, Gareth Widdop was, you know, almost Dally M5-8 of the year last year. And for the opening 15 or 16 rounds, he was one of the best players in the competition. I think he's a 5'8". I would have done the same thing. I thought Dufty had a solid year last year, and I think coming in this year with a little bit more confidence, probably put a little bit of size on in the off-season. So I'm thinking that, you know, he's going to know what to expect a lot more this year. And then you got Ben Hunt there as well. So I would have started that. I would have had Norman on the bench. And as Em said before, you're going to use these guys. You're going to need them because things happen, you know, and then you've got some versatility around it. But I just think it's really hard to judge them this early given the fact they've got two really influential guys that aren't playing at the moment.
Given those forwards are out and we saw how gassed, Del, we were there, that some of the forwards were so gassed. And the fact that Dufty only had, or the first week he only had 13 minutes, didn't get a whole much, I think he had only just above 15. Is that a waste? Are they, at the moment, until you get Frizzell back and who knows what's happening with DeBellin, do you have four forwards on the bench? I know Corey Norman is a good utility, but while they're missing those key forwards, is it better to have an extra forward on the bench?
Well, it depends who you play. But
depends,
like, you know,
on the quality of the forward coming in.
That's right. And then, like, there's a young guy called Reece Robinson who, like, I think is going to be a first grader for a long time. So, you know, whether you bring him into the bench or whether, you carry Mitch Allgood or something, they've got a few injuries, as we know, with Corbin Sims. He's injured at the moment as well. So it's up to Marion and who you're playing against. I mean, the first 2 weeks, they've had some pretty good forward packs they've met. South were good in that second half. Sam Burgess, he was strong. But I've got to say, young Blake Laurie, I thought, did a good job. We know he's been a good utility for a long time, but he had to step up and just the size of him, it was throwback to the old forwards, you know, just that block shape, and he's got a good motor. But that's what happens when you lose players. If you said Lisa Armour, Tyson Frizzell, DeBellin at the moment, they are going to have to dig deep now.
Yeah. It's hard, though, isn't it, being a coach? I mean, you lose a couple of games, you try something, you kind of got to stand by your convictions, don't you? I mean, you can't just be reactive to, you know, everyone in the media and obviously all the noise around about, oh, you've got this wrong. And it's a, you know, in front of your players as well. I mean, if you make these stands and these positional changes, you've got to give them a go. You can't just change things at the drop of a hat. So I think for Mary and a few other coaches at the moment that find themselves on the back end of a couple of poor weeks' form, you've kind of got to stick with it and believe in, you know, that they've made the right decision and give it time to work. Otherwise, you continue to change all season and you never stick with anyone.
Mary did say that. He said you have to be patient, but what? How long do you give it? How many losses in a row?
Well, you need to see progress. You need to see, and I think, as I said before, I mean, they got beat up in the second half the other night, but their first half was probably better than it was the week before. Yep. So he might be able to take a little bit of something out of that. But without those two guys in their pack, Tony, I mean, as a fan, you're not expecting to compete with some of the better sides with those two guys.
No, that's absolutely true. But they're not a patient fan base, let's be honest.
No, we know that. The Bunnies or the Dragons, but the Dragons at the moment. And, you know, there's another option for them too. You could actually throw Corey Norman to fullback because he played a lot of his fullback at the Broncos in the 20s and obviously bits and pieces at Parramatta. It just depends what you want. But I just think Dufty is... I know what Gertz is saying, he's a young player, but I think, you know, he got his kick up the butt last year and then in the finals he showed what he can do. And I just think the Dragons are a better team when he's bringing that ball back.
The story, of course, though, was Corey Norman. It was after the game I read that he was just doing a little, you know, getting photographs, autographs, that sort of stuff. And a young kid who was wearing some of the gear that he has. And,
yeah, you know the rules.
chatted to him, and this young kid told him that he was there by himself. So Corey Norman took him under his wing, actually gave him a lift home to his house.
Yeah, such a good story. Really? And particularly when that's there's the so much off the field happening, it's good to hear things like that. And the thing is, when the players are doing these types of things, they don't want praise for it. So a lot of the time, it's hard to be able, as a journalist, to be able to tell these stories because the players themselves don't want to be interviewed and talked about it. They don't want to talk about it and talk themselves up. And I know I saw Buzz Rothfield tweeted that he inquired and wanted to chat to Corey but politely declined because he didn't want to make a fuss. So that's the case with a lot of the players doing good things.
You see a lot of moves like that where you speak about Lockyer and the like, and they go from fullback into six because it's a very physical position, fullback. And Gareth Widdop now is sort of at the back end of his career.
He's had shoulder injuries too, that's what,
And he loves it. He's not a traditional ball runner. Like, he's great at running the football, but he's great at identifying a short side. He's got a great kicking game. You know, he's just great at being on the ball, but he's not a guy that wants to get the ball, catch it, you know, on his 10-metre line and then have to steam into, you know...
Yeah.
Six forwards just coming down looking to hunt him down. So, I mean, he's in a different stage of his career in that part.
It sounds like fun, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, you've got to love that. Yeah. And that's where that top-end speed from Dufty, that's where he gets away with it. And you've seen that with, you know, Billy Slater in the past.
Yeah, all right, we get so much more to get through. We'll, of course, chat with Sam Burgess. We're hoping to have a chat with him very shortly. The coach of the Titans, Garth Brennan, will also join us in the next hour. John Morris there as well. The Mounties have gone in to score a try against the Jets about 10 minutes, just over 10 minutes into this Canterbury Cup game. This is Saturday Triple M NRL.